loves you. Just take a moment and drink that in. He loves you. It's not just something that, like, we just say God loves you or Jesus loves you. It's not just something that we say. It's real. So the guy that created the heavens and the earth, right, and all of its majesty and all of its glory, right, like, he loves you. He put you together specifically for such a time as this. He put you together for such a time as this. Because he loves you. And I don't know why. Most of us are not very lovable. But he loves us. And his grace and his mercy just washes over us. And then these moments where we're worshiping the Lord, it's so wonderful to be in his presence. And so just drink that in. Just drink in his presence. Just rest in his presence. Amen. Okay. So for the entire time I've been here, so this is sermon now number 5, I think. We've been talking about salvation, and sort of from the beginning, I have been talking about salvation, you know, like sort of where it comes from, how you get it, that sort of thing, its benefits, some of the benefits. Anyway, but in the initial sermon, I promised that we would talk about the benefits of our salvation, because the benefits go on and on and on and on. There's so many benefits to our salvation. And so finally today, we're actually going to get into some of the benefits. And so this week, if your name alphabetically is before Emily Runner, because that's where I stopped, then I texted you this week, if you text anyway, I texted you this week, I'm praying for you today, is there anything I can pray for you about? And so I got some really awesome responses. I got one that was like this long, and it's awesome. That's wonderful, I love it. And I was diligent to pray for everything you guys asked me to pray for, 100%. And one of the prayer requests that came through was specific for somebody's child, and they were saying that she was sort of overwhelmed with this, you know, these choices, these things that are happening in their life. And so, I mean, one of my processes, I just walk around in circles in this room and pray, because I pray better when I move. Probably you see that in my preaching as well. I didn't even think about that until just now. Anyway, and so I'm just walking around in circles. And one of the things, I was praying for this particular person, and I said, Lord, help her to release the overwhelm. And when I said those words, I knew immediately that's what we were going to be talking about this week, is just to release the overwhelm. And we stay so bogged down in our lives by our jobs, by our money, by the choices, by our families, by our kids. We stay so bogged down all of the time with all of this stuff. We just pile on stuff and stuff and stuff. And so it keeps us so distracted. And I really think that it's a tactic from the enemy. I really genuinely do. Our busyness is in a tactic from the devil. He keeps our minds rolling on things that aren't important, things that we can't change anyway, right? And so we stay so distracted, and honestly, and I don't know, this is hard to say this, but it's selfishness, right? Staying focused on yourself all the time and on your problems is selfishness, right? And it's distracting you from what really God is calling you to do, which is honestly think about him all the time and what he's calling us to do. And so I remember, okay, so I've been here like a month or whatever, and we had a board meeting on a Thursday night, and then the following Saturday we had a leadership meeting. And so during the board meeting, there were like, I don't know, 12 action items. Of those 12 action items, like 10 of them were mine to do. Of course, I'm paid staff, so that makes sense, right? And then 2 days later, we have our leadership meeting, and there's, I don't know, we didn't line up tasks the same way, but it was half a page worth of tasks that were all assigned to me as well. And so, like, I remember walking out of a leadership meeting, and even again, like, say, Tuesday morning when I got back here, just feeling so overwhelmed with, oh, my gosh, this is so much stuff. How in the world can I possibly accomplish all of this? And so, truthfully, I can't. I can't accomplish all of this stuff. And so what I had to do was just release the overwhelm. I had to just let go because I just can't do all this stuff. I can only do sort of one thing at a time. And so what are we to do with that? What are we to do with our overwhelm? Well, I'm going to teach you this morning. How do you release the overwhelm? Well, I'm going to teach you. All right. We're going to read the Bible. And I'm noticing now that I don't have these lights on because I can't see my Bible near as well. Okay. I'm going to get my glasses. All right. Okay, there we go. Yeah, click them on. Pay no attention to the man on the stage. All right. We're in 2 Chronicles 4. There it is. All right. Once an Ethiopian named, we even talked about the lights this morning. How do we not even notice that they weren't on?
I thought it was a choice you made.
No, I didn't. I didn't make that choice. I never even thought about it. We were talking about them because I move, we need to light me better. And so we were talking about them, and I honestly never even noticed. I mean, we pointed at them, and I honestly never even noticed they were on. But when I picked up my Bible and couldn't read it, then I noticed them. All right. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. They advanced to the town of Maresha. So Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley north of Maresha. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God. All right, so now this is what Asa did when he was facing 1 million men. O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians. So what do we have to do when we're totally overwhelmed with all of the things? We lean into the Lord. We just put our trust into the Lord. We lean into the Lord. Okay, that's great, Pastor. That's great to hear you say that, Pastor. Lean into the Lord, Pastor. Good. Good for you. How do you do that? How do you lean into the Lord? Okay, I'm going to teach you that too this morning. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 4, which is a verse you've heard me read before. And it's as we walk through this, just... this is how you lean into the Lord. All right. We're going to start in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So, how do we lean into the Lord? Well, we walk through this scripture. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to walk through this scripture. All right, first things first. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Because prayer comes first. That's the first thing. Prayer comes first. So, facing a difficult decision, pray about it. And I'll even stop here. This is not even in my notes. I'll stop here and say, so how do I pray about it? Prayer is just a conversation between you and Lord. That's it. Your heart tunes towards his. You know, I like to think of our hearts like a radio. You know, you can tune your radio to the things of the world, or you can tune your heart to the things of the Lord. You can tune your heart to one direction or the other. And I personally believe, just like, TV 18 or whatever is always broadcasting something, I feel like the Lord is always broadcasting something. And so I feel like your heart needs to be tuned towards his. Like, if you're constantly tuned into him, then you're constantly hearing his voice, right? I really believe that. So pray about everything. So, okay, well, I've got no money. Pray about it. I don't know what job to take. Pray about it. My kids are driving me crazy. Pray about it. My family, and this was a consistent prayer request from you guys. Reconciliation with somebody. Reconciliation with my family. I want to reconcile with so-and-so. Pray about it. That's the first thing. Pray about it. Okay? Because you can't fix it. You can't fix it. The King of the earth can. Okay. So, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Then it says, tell God what you need. Tell God what you... So now, this is real easy. This is not like advanced level Christianity. This is pray about it and tell God what you need, right? This is basic stuff. You can do this even if you're a brand new baby Christian. Tell God what you need. Now, he already knows what you need. And he probably thinks you need something different than you think you need, but nonetheless, tell him what you need. Lord, I need wisdom in how to go the direction I need to go. I need to know this thing, or I need you to help me fix this situation. I need money, Lord. I need money. I need groceries. I need a new car. I need a whatever. God, help me. And tell him what you need. Now, and this is my favorite part, this next part. And thank him for all he's done. Now, this is what I like to call, in my own personal walk with Jesus, this is what I like to call putting my gratefulness on display. So what I like to do is just start with just simple stuff. The stuff that we all have, right? We all have oxygen to breathe. We all have trees to look at. Trees are my, you know, like some people stand in the ocean and they're just like, oh, ocean, or, you know, God is so big. Or they stand and look at a mountain and, oh, mountain's so big and God is so awesome or whatever. I'm a tree guy. Personally, I'm just a tree. I love to look at trees. So if you've been to my house or come to my house, then you'll understand why I bought the house I bought, because it's in the trees. Anyway, so I love trees. So I just thank God for just simple stuff. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the oxygen that I breathe. I thank you for the birds that sing. I thank you for the grass that I can walk on. I thank you for the trees, God. I thank you for the sky and just the awesomeness that is this earth, God. I thank you for the beauty that you see in nature, God. And then I take it from there and I go deeper into things that are more relevant to me specific. So, God, I thank you for my family. I thank you for Levi and Silas. I thank you for my wife and how wonderful she is. I thank you for the home that you've given me, God. I thank you for the vehicle that you give me that runs and so on. And I take things that are personal to me. And I thank God for the pillow I sleep on. I really do, because I like my pillow. I like my bed, and it was a gift from God, right? It's not just like everything you have, God gave you. You don't have anything that God didn't give you. You got nothing. So if you like your pillow, then praise the Lord for your pillow, right? If you don't, the Lord gave you some money, and Walmart's got plenty of them. Don't sleep on a bad pillow. That's terrible. Don't sleep on a bad pillow. So, and then I go, for me personally, then I go even deeper. I go into things that he and I share. So, God, thank you for my salvation. God, thank you that you give me a confidence in you. Thank you that I feel like I understand your love. And God, I thank you that you have made me, that you're helping me be kind, that you're helping me be patient, that you're helping me be loving, that you're helping me be the man that you call me to be. God, help me to, thank you for the family that you've given me to lead, Lord. And I just put my gratefulness on display. And you know what that does? It changes my want level. It changes what I want. Right, so at first, you know, okay, I want a new car. But by the time I'm putting my gratefulness on display, I realize I've got a car that the Lord gave me. Or I want a new job. And by the time I put my gratefulness on display, I see that I'm grateful for the job that God gave me. Or, you know, whatever is going on. You know, and if you're struggling in marriage, if you spend, whatever, 5 minutes just thanking the Lord for different things about your spouse that you love, it'll change the way you see your spouse. And you're like, well, my spouse ain't got 5 minutes worth of things to be thankful for. I bet they do. Shannon can work up 5 minutes. You surely can work up 5 minutes. So, Okay, unless you're Diane. All right, I'm sorry. It just was right there. I could. All right. Anyway, I even told him I didn't have a joke for him this morning, but apparently I did. Okay. All right. So let's move on from that. All right. Then, so after you've put your gratefulness on display, then you will experience God's peace. And this is not like a, you know, some things in the Bible are, if you do this, then I'll do this. That's not, when you do this, I'll do this. When you do these things, then you will experience God's peace. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of being overwhelmed? Aren't you exhausted with being exhausted? Right? You don't have to be. You can run your thousand errands that you have to run and make it from whatever job site to job site, or make it from one project to the next project, and you can do all that inside of His peace. Aren't you tired of trying to do it on your own? It's so exhausting trying to do it all on your own. Then His peace protects you. Look at this. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So as you put your thankfulness on display, God's peace protects you. And so this sort of builds on itself. The more you do it, the more you have it. The more you do it, the more you have it. The more you do it, the more you have it. And it sort of builds and builds and builds on its own. How wonderful is that? That God loves us enough to do that. Okay, then, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So, change your thought patterns, right? So you've put your gratefulness on display. His peace is now protecting you. Now stop going back to the same thought pattern, because that's going to leave you back down the same road of misery and overwhelm. Stop going back there. Change your mind. So are you thinking about something that's not excellent? Are you thinking about something that's not praiseworthy or true or lovely? Then stop thinking that. And I know what you're thinking. Well, sometimes it just pops up in my brain, right? Sometimes it does. But you got to get it out of there. And I get it. You're driving your car. It's when you're alone. It's when this kind of thing happens. You're driving your car and you're just cruising along or whatever, and then you start, all of the things just start piling up in your head. Or you're in the shower, like when you're in the shower, you're alone, you know, hopefully, or maybe not. Marriage is awesome. I'm just throwing that out there. Marriage is awesome. And so if you're alone in the shower and these thoughts come, I'll say it that way. So then change the way you're thinking. Is whatever has popped up in your brain excellent or praiseworthy? Then get rid of it. You don't have to be, you're not a slave to your brain. You can choose what you're thinking about. So at your office, at your job, at your desk or whatever, or like as the things pile on and pile on and pile on and your list is this big, then, you know, do the top thing. Think about the top thing. Not the whole list. You can't do the whole list. We'll get into that a little bit more. Okay. That's great, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor, for that. That's great. Now I know how to do that, but I need an answer. I can't just sit back and not think about this. I have to actually think about something. Well, the Bible's got something for you, too. James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom. Okay, so that prayer request I was telling you about, it was somebody trying to make a decision on where their life is going from here and was feeling overwhelmed by that. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. So we put these two scriptures together and this is the way that it works. You ask the Lord for wisdom and then trust Him that He's given it to you. And then you're letting His peace guard your hearts and minds. This is not advanced Christianity. This is regular old stuff. So what I like to do, let's read the whole scripture. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea and is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is... Okay, anyway. So the point is, when you ask God, trust God. that he's given it to you. So, okay, I need to make this decision. What do I do? Lord, I've got this choice and I've got this choice. I'm asking you for wisdom. And if the Lord is not passionate about the direction you're going, okay, let me say it like this. I really genuinely believe sometimes the Lord gives us choices. I really do. So I'm nervous to tell you this little bit of testimony, but I will. I was your youth pastor 7.5 years ago, and I remember sitting at a table at the Woodshed. This would have been probably 8 years ago, sitting across from John Townsend, and the Woodshed had been calling me, asking me to come. And I had said, no, I don't want to do that. And I was sitting there at that table, and I knew that the Lord was dealing with me. The Lord told me to go back to the Woodshed. I didn't want to go. I was told to go, and I went, right? I didn't want to go. It wasn't a good day for either one of us. Neither one of us wanted to do that. But I was obedient, and I followed the Lord that way. Now, with this choice to move back here, I don't feel like the Lord forced me to come back here. I feel like the Lord gave me a choice. You can stay and you can have this life over here, this Woodshed life. You can have it's a little more selfish. It's better money. You'll have, this will be a great life. You can still love me and be here. Or you can go over here and you can give your life away in this way. And it'll be a great life too. Both will be a great life. You get to choose which way you want to go. And so through the whole process, I struggled, especially with my brother, because he didn't feel like this is the right choice. I feel vulnerable saying that to you guys. But I never felt like the Lord said, you have to go back. I felt like the Lord gave me a choice. For me, it was a pretty easy choice. I want to give my life away in the way that I'm doing now. This is what I feel like. This is what I was made to do. I feel like I was born for this, right? And so it was an easy choice. This was a good choice, and it would have been a good life. It really would. But this over here, doing this, what I'm doing now, I love it. I love it, right? And so I don't feel like the Lord is always forcing you to do one thing or another. So you got a big choice headed, then pick your favorite. Okay, Lord, this is the one I like the most. I'm going to go this direction. And if the Lord is passionate about you not going that direction, he'll close the doors. He'll shut it down. And you'll say, okay, well, I guess I won't go that way. But you know what? You got to make a choice. Right, because the Lord can't steer a ship that ain't moving. Right, you can turn the rudder all day long, and if you ain't moving, you ain't going nowhere. So make a choice, commit, and go that direction. And if the Lord doesn't like that direction, he'll tell you through either shutting doors, or he'll just tell you in your heart, reading the Bible. You'll just know that God is shutting it down. Okay, that's cool and all, Pastor. But I've got a million things to do. You don't even know what my list of things looks like. You're right. I don't know. But I have an answer for that too. So, Colossians 3:23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Just give it your best. Just give it your best. Okay, so you've got a million things to do. There's 100 things on your to-do list. You've got 12 projects, and they're all big, and you don't know how to get half of them done, and you've got this, or you've got, you know, 7 job sites that are all working at the same time, or whatever it is. You've got too much going on. You can only do one thing. So do it with the best of your ability. Do your one thing, and then move on to the next thing. You know, you are not a superhero. You're not. Look, this is for Zach right here. Okay, throw up my first picture right here. Bam, there's Thor, right? Thor can kill 100 bad guys at once. You're not Thor, okay? He's got this going on. You don't got that going on. You can't do this. You can't land in a pile of bad guys, slam your hammer down, and sling all the bad guys out. Nope, you're Hawkeye. You get one arrow, one at a time. That's you. You don't get 1,000 guys. You get one guy. Well, he's got, you know, missile arrows. Whatever. It's an illustration. You get one task at a time. So do your one task at a time with all that the Lord has given you. Give your one task at a time and knock them off the list. You know, the first thing that I tried to do was to get that database going. And really, aside from Hallie, who has not filled out her paperwork yet, I've got the rest of you in that database. And so I'm praying for you by name, except for Hallie and her kids, because she's not turned in her paper yet. Despite 2 emails and texts and stuff. Nonetheless, I bet she does it now. What do you bet? All right. So you can only do what you can do. You are not a superhero. You're not. You're not Thor. You can't kill 100 bad guys at once. You can kill one bad guy at once. You can do one thing at once. So do that with work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord. Do it as though you were working for the Lord. And then just take his pleasure and his rest with that. Okay. Now, and then finally, so you're feeling the overwhelm. Then my encouragement to you is lean into your friends. So since we've been back, we've hung out with some friends that we had, you know, obviously 7 years ago or whatever. And it's been so wonderful just to, like, hang out with these people and just be, you know, just, like, lay it all out. These are things, because we had friends in Hopkinsville. I don't want it to sound like that, but we didn't have real deep friends like we had here. And so, you know, it was wonderful just to sit on the couch and just complain, right? Just complain about stuff. And they listen and they care and they pray for me and my wife and they the same. They reciprocate. They just complain and we listen and it's wonderful. Look at the Bible, verse 17 of chapter 17. A friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help out in time of need. God gives us friends just to pour out your heart to. So, right, so, you know, you've poured your heart out to the Lord, and his peace is protecting you. But you need, like, because God is not, you can't touch him. You can't sit on the couch with him in the same way. But just to have somebody nod along and be like, yeah, that's terrible. I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't like that for you. It's so nice when you can just trust somebody like that. And then, okay, Pastor, but I don't have any friends. I'm sad for you if you don't, but look at verse 31 of Proverbs 3. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such people are detestable to the Lord. I know this not exactly doesn't sound like where I'm going, but he offers his friendship to the godly. So you don't have any earthly friends? Well, I'll say this. If you don't have any earthly friends that will listen to you complain, that's because you're not listening to anybody else complain. I'll just throw that out there. You want to have a friend, be a friend. This is not a friendship sermon. This is about us giving ourselves to the Lord. So God offers friendship. And so now here we are back to where we were in Philippians. You can't pour your heart out to your friends. Pour your heart out to God. Just sit on your couch by yourself and just complain and cry and eat cookies, right? Or whatever ice cream or whatever it is that you're into. Look, guys, we have to release the overwhelm. We stay so bogged down with all of this stuff all of the time. We stay so bogged down with, I'm trying to rebuild this relationship. I can't get you know, family such and such to call me back. Because you can't do it. You can't reconcile that relationship. You can't do 100 things. You can't. You can't. And aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of trying? Aren't you tired of trying to hold your whole life together by yourself? You can't do it. You can't do it. Stop trying. Let it go. Look at the Bible in verse 28 of Matthew 11. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, for you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Aren't you tired? You can't carry these relationships by yourself. Those of you that I'm praying for you that the Lord will help you reconcile, I really am. But you can't do it. You can't call them enough. You can't make it right by yourself. You can't do it. You can't do all the jobs by yourself. You can't do it. You can't project manage 19 projects at once. You can't do it by yourself. And aren't you tired of trying? We get one shot at this life, one shot. So why spend the whole thing wrapped up in ourselves? Why not lay it all before the Lord and just rest in Him, because He offers that to us. And so here's what I got for you this morning. Rebecca, you can move. Here's what I got for you this morning. Instead of a typical altar call, I think what I'd like to do is, here in a moment, I'm gonna pray for you. And if you're feeling like this is you, like you're overwhelmed, I've got decisions to make, I've got too much stuff on my plate, I've got money problems, I've got job problems, I've got choices, I've got kids, I've got relationship problems, I've got reconciliation problems. If that's you, then what I'm going to ask you to do is just stand up right where you are. And then the people who don't stand up are just going to put their hands on you, and we're just going to pray for you. And I know how we as Americans live. I am one. Let's take this morning and let's just rest in Him. And then as the people pray for you, as we pray for you, then just drink it in. Just drink in His peace. Drink in His joy. Drink in His relax. And in this moment, this morning, just release the overwhelm. Just release it. So I'm going to pray for you. And if that's you, I just ask you to stand up right where you're at. And then we'll give you a minute to build up your courage, which there's really no need for courage in this room. If you stand up, nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody's going to make fun of you. Everybody in this room, we all live in the same thing. We're all messed up in the same ways. We love you. And we want to pray with you. We want you to get healing. We want you to relax. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. God, we can't do this alone. We can't. God, we can't, like, lead our families without you. We can't lead our jobs. We can't do things without you, Lord. We can't do it alone. Oh, but you can. You offer us the wisdom. You see the whole map. We only see the little piece in front of us, God. You see the whole map. You know where we're going. You know what's next, God. Help us this morning to release that to you, to give it away to you, Lord. You alone are worthy of our fears and our overwhelm. God, you alone are worthy to just dump all that stuff on you. And God, I pray that as we release it this morning, God, that we never pick it back up again. God, that we just give it to you and walk away free from it. God, break these chains of overwhelm this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So I would ask you to stand up right where you're at. If that's you and you want some prayer, then just stand up right where you're at, and we'll gather around you and pray. I'm not gonna beg you to stand, but there's no point in holding it to yourself, right? Like, if this is you, there's no point in holding on to it. no point in holding on to it. You're not going to do anything but mess it up by yourself. This morning, just let it go. We'll give you another second, and we're going to gather around you, and we're going to pray. All right, let's... If you're close to somebody that's standing up, or even if you're not close, let's get up and move around the room. Let's find these people that are standing up, and let's put our hands on them and let's pray for them. I'll give you guys a minute to pray, in your like groups or whatever, and then I will, and then I'll finish her up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're so grateful that you care about us enough to let us dump our problems on you. God, I pray that from this moment on, we walk out of this room, God, having let go of this stuff, Lord, never, ever, ever to return to it. God, to always trust you with all of our problems and all of our choices, Lord. That you would bring us to a place of peace and joy with you. You are good. You are good, and you care about these minute details in our lives, Lord. You're a good and holy God. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' holy name. Good, yes? It's good. For those of you that stood up, I'm going to be praying for you all week long. And I, if you left something here, leave it here. Leave it here. These seats can handle it. They can handle the weight of it. Jesus can handle the weight of your garbage. I promise he can. Okay. Now, unfortunately, we have to transition out of this and go and eat lunch and things. But before we do, we have, I tell you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray and dismiss us. But if you're a church member, because we have a like a little, like a small business meeting to have right now. So if you're a church member, then stay here. If you're visiting with us or not a church member, then take off and hang out in the lobby or whatever, you know, or go home, or, you know, whatever. We love you. be blessed. We're going to do a small business meeting, and then we'll be dismissed as well. So, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I know you saw hearts this morning moving towards you. God, I pray that you would help them move towards you, not just this morning, but God, tomorrow morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and you know, Thursday afternoon at 4 when it's the weight of it all is piling down. Help us, God, to let it all go. Remind ourselves of what you've got going on for us, and help us to just rest in who you are. God, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are, in Jesus' name.